Tonight I just want to look briefly at a few verses out of the passage that Scott has already read to us in Luke chapter 2. I'm going to focus on verses 18 to 20, but the primary focus of my attention tonight will be on the message that the angel and then the host of angels proclaimed to the shepherds. Again, the setting is the shepherds in their fields, keeping watch over their flock. And it says, "The angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened." This is now, in just a few brief verses, really, in Luke's epistle, or gospel, the third time now that at least an angel has appeared to someone to proclaim to them what is going to take place. The first one being Zacharias in the temple. An angel appeared, Gabriel, and then Gabriel also appears to Mary in chapter 1, verse 26. We're not told the name of the angel in this particular case, but he comes to proclaim to them good news. And that's what we're going to look at here in a little bit. One of the interesting things about this is the activity of the angels that are involved in, so far in Luke's gospel, this Christmas narrative and in proclaiming and announcing the birth of Jesus and then announcing it to the shepherds, is that there's a verse in 1 Peter. As Peter starts his epistle, he talks about this great salvation that we have in Christ. And he starts off in verse 8, picks it up mid-sentence. He says, "And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It is revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things, which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look." And here we see the angels' activity, longing to look into this great redemptive story. It had to be, in some senses, mind-boggling to them, those who dwelled in the presence of God, to announce that God became flesh. He was born in a manger in order to secure their salvation, purchase their salvation by obeying the law perfectly and then dying on the cross. And it must have been somewhat of amazement to them that the glory of God to be displayed in such a manner. But that's exactly what we see here as this story unfolds. The angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly afraid. The glory of the Lord, the same glory that from ages past Moses experienced as he saw the burning bush, the same glory that appeared to the Israelites as God led them through the desert, the same glory that appeared to the Israelites as God would descend upon the tabernacle and then the temple to designate that he was present with them. The same glory that filled the temple as Isaiah gives us account in Isaiah chapter 6 that talks about God, the glory of God filling the temple. And all he could say is, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell among a people of unclean lips." The same glory that was demonstrated later when the disciples were Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration and God appeared and transfigured Jesus to show the glory in his person. It is this glory that these shepherds now experience. And it says they were terribly frightened. Not just that they were afraid, but they were terribly frightened. Emphasis. The angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid," or as the ESV says, "Fear not." Now, this again is the third time that this expression has been used. When he comes to Zacharias in the temple, he says to him in verse 13, he says, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias." And then he gives him a reason. After every proclamation or after every command where he says, "Do not fear," or "Fear not," he tells them, gives them a reason or the basis why they should not fear. Although, again, to be in the presence of angelic beings who dwell in the presence of God would be a fearful thing. He says to Zacharias, "For your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you will give him the name John." So again, he gives him the basis for the fact that he should not fear, but there's something good that's going to happen. And it's same for Mary when the angel Gabriel comes to her. He says, "Do not fear, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Again, the favor, the grace that she experienced because God has chosen her to do a wonderful task. And here again, we see the shepherds in their field, and the angel says, "Fear not," or "Do not be afraid." But again, he gives them the reason. He says, "I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." Good news of great joy. The good news that he's bringing to them is the salvation that he's going to describe in the next verse and the content of what that good news of great joy is. But it encompasses all that God is doing through Jesus Christ in this moment of time, as Greg read in the scripture. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that we might that he might redeem those under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. Good news of great joy. The good news that stretches all the way back as it talks about for this day. He gives them both the content and the reason for this great joy in verse 11. He says, "For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." It goes all the way back and connects the story all the way to the first promise that we see in Scripture, where God says to the serpent that the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the seed of the serpent. And now we see through the ages that develops, and we see it revealed in Christ, that there is going to be a Savior, born for you a Savior. Jesus' name, as we saw, a couple weeks ago in church here, Jesus, that he's given the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And the reality is that only sinners need a Savior, but that's who we are. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the good news of great joy, it is that great delight and happiness that we experience as we experience the reality of this good news that is proclaimed not only to the shepherds, but is proclaimed to us through the Word of God and the witness of the Scriptures to us, of our great need that outside of Christ, as we're born into this world, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We are by nature objects of God's wrath, it says in Ephesians chapter 2. But, it says, God, who is rich in mercy because of the love with which He loved us, while we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive, and He seated us with Christ in the heavenly places. He did all of these wonderful things, for by grace you have been saved, He says. It's good news of great joy that, as the angel says, today a Savior is born for you, who is Christ. Christ, meaning anointed one, is the same equivalent to the Hebrew word for Messiah, who is the Lord, the one long-awaited, long-expected. He is Messiah. He is the Christ, the Lord. And then we see this word that is given to them, that there suddenly appeared more angels. And as a matter of fact, a multitude of angels, of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." We see the contrast. Glory to God in the highest heavens. Glory to God. They are singing His praise. They're giving Him glory, ascribing to him the glory that is due his name for what he has done, especially as we see the pinnacle of the glory of God is revealed in this idea of Christ being born in humility, magnifying the fact that we read in Philippians chapter 2 that said, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, becoming a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself to the point of death, even death on the cross. And then the resurrection comes, the display of glory that's found in what God has done to redeem sinful men and sending his Son to die on the cross for our sins. And then the contrast is on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. This peace not only represents the cessation of hostility that existed before we're reconciled with God, because that's what it talks about. When we're born into this world, we are born into this world as enemies of God. We are at enmity with him. But it is through Christ that we can be reconciled to him. And through that reconciliation, because of what Christ has done, we now have peace with God. Romans 5, that we're justified. We have peace with God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. But peace encompasses so much more. It's all of the blessing, all of the privileges, and all of the favor that God demonstrates to us because of this reconciliation, because we are now at peace with him. He says this peace among men with those whom he is pleased, who are the objects, the recipients of God's good pleasure. It's not for everyone, but it's only for those who demonstrate that good pleasure by faith in Christ, faith in this message of good news that is proclaimed. It's not for everyone, because the Scripture tells us that in Romans chapter 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to him must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so it is by faith that we demonstrate that we are the recipients of his favor, of his good pleasure. When we embrace this message of salvation, this good news, by faith, and know firsthand what it means to have Christ as our Savior, to know the reality that our sins are forgiven and that we have the assurance of eternal life. You see, when we celebrate the birth of Christ, the birth of Christ really only has ultimate significance for those who embrace Christ as their Savior by faith. For others, it's just a good story, maybe, or something that they do because that's what family does, or you go to church and it's all part of traditions. But it really has no benefit until we personally embrace this message of salvation through faith. And so again, we can say along with the shepherds that a Savior has been born for us when we, by faith, embrace this Savior who came and again, fulfilled all righteousness and obeying God's law and gave himself as that perfect sinless sacrifice to pay the penalty for our sins. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you put your trust in him? Have you recognized that in and of yourself there's no way you can save yourselves from your sins? It's not by going to church. It's not by trying to be good enough. It's not by being baptized. It's not by the Lord's Supper. It's not by fill in the blank, any good thing you think might give you favor before God. It's not by any of that. But it's by faith in Jesus Christ and in him alone that we experience the good news of great joy of our salvation through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace and goodness. Thank you for this good news of great joy that we experience through faith in Jesus Christ by your grace. And Lord, I pray that you will help us as we focus on the reality of this message and for the true reason and the purpose for which Christ came, that you will, in fact, fill us with this great joy that we can go into the world in which we live, to our family, to our friends, to our neighbors, wherever we go, and bear witness of this good news of great joy to them. And Lord, we pray that you will accomplish this and use us in this proclamation and this witness to the world. In Jesus' name, amen.